Welcome to another edition of the Baseball America Prospect Handbook Podcast. JJ and the Bear Podcast here, JJ Cooper, along Josh Bear Norris.
Howdy.
We're going to talk futures game today. New futures games rosters, 2014 rosters have just been released, and we're going to analyze them, talk about them, who we're excited to see. I don't think there's anyone we're not excited to see at this, but who we're excited to see. We're going to talk about that. Do want to remind you first, though, go to baseballamerica.com/store, and you get a special offer right now. Right now, you sign up for a Baseball America subscription, you get an extra month. We'll tack on 1 month free, so you can subscribe now. Good time to subscribe. Got futures game coverage coming up, but right now, really, mid-season prospect update stuff. We'll have a new top 50 coming up, but also July 2 coverage. Ben Badler covers the international signing period like no one else, and there's going to be scouting reports galore. There'll be signings galore. Everything you need to know about the stars of 2018, 2020?
Not tomorrow, but the stars of next week.
Right. The 16-year-olds who are signing and will be names that you will need to know down the road. Who the Miguel Sanos of the future are, or just, you know, who the Miguel Cabreras of the future are, if you want to go that way. So that's something well worth subscribing for right now, and you get a free month if you do it. So we do want to jump in, though. We're going to talk a little All-Star games, too, because we both came back from some All-Star games recently. But the futures games rosters are what we wanted to get together and talk about today. So we got the world roster, we got the U.S. roster. We'll go through it, kind of. We'll have our open-ended. Who do you like to want to see? But I'd say let's just kind of look at it as a whole. Let's look at the world lineup. We'll start with the world position players, and we've got catchers Jorge Alfaro, Christian Betancourt. This is like. Betancourt, I think, is going to be in the Futures Game Hall of Fame for most appearances. He arrived early, and he's been sticking around for a while, so he's got several. Kenneth Vargas and Michael Franco at first, Jose Peraza at second, Correa, who unfortunately probably won't be in this game because of his ankle injury, Carlos Correa with the Astros, Francisco Lindor with the Indians, Javier Baez with the Cubs at short, Rosel Herrera, Renato Nunez. Then an outfield of Dalton Pompey, Gabriel Guerrero, Daryl Alvarez, Stephen Moya, and Domingo Santana. So I ask you, who jumps out on that to you?
Well, if you've been in the office in the last couple of days, and you have, you've heard me on my my Jose Peraza kick lately. The kid, I mean, lately he's on fire. I think this month he's hitting .452. He's got a however many games long June has been hitting streak. He's hitting every game this month. The last time he didn't get a hit was the All-Star game, the Carolina.
That don't count.
I know. But he didn't get a hit, so in any case, he's hitting all five game or all the games he's played in Mississippi. Had a home run last night, hitting .522 there. Plays incredible defense, steals bases like nobody's business, and doesn't get caught. I think he's 37-44 this year, so I'm excited to see him. I've never seen Baez before, kind of amazingly. I just never run into him anywhere, so I'm excited to see all the crazy bat speed I've heard so much about. Domingo Santana, I haven't seen him since Lakewood. He's doing really well as a 21-year-old in AAA. Homering, not striking out as much lately. You got a bazooka of an arm.
It's funny, when you say bazooka of an arm, I've always kind of wondered, what is like our best, what is the best arm term? Because bazooka, I could see, but it's...
Bazooka, like, howitzer, cannon, it's all firearms.
Howitzers, though, are kind of like a, really, howitzer's a misnomer. This is JJ poking the JJ here. Howitzer's a misnomer because a howitzer is a gun that fires a shell up high into the sky and lands. So a howitzer actually would be a very, like, would be like a 20 arm.
So Johnny Damon possessed a howitzer.
A rail gun would be like would be an excellent or
a nail gun.
Nail gun's not that, a laser, but. But I've always kind of like a bazooka, like it only launches a rocket a very short distance. So
well, point being, Domingo Santana has
whatever, a really good arm.
Whatever firearm.
I digress. I digress.
Last time I had a firearm, it was a BB gun, and I shouldn't do that again. But we neglected to name the pitchers here.
But we're getting we'll get to that next. But okay. So Jorge Alfaro, if you haven't got a chance to see Jorge Alfaro, he'll be fun to watch in this game. One of the best athletes we've seen behind the plate in a long time. I also had to be honest, a little worried because he may also let a couple balls go back to the backstop with the amount of velo and the amount of stuff that he'll be handling because he's still a little raw back there at times. But I'm excited. Shortstops is obviously, even if we don't get Carlos Correa, Lindor Baez is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. But I'm also... I think that the outfield, this outfield is actually probably something that's going to be overlooked, but is actually pretty, is not terrible by any stretch. And I mean that, that sounds like very faint praise, but Dalton Pompey, Gabriel Guerrero, Stephen Moya, Domingo Santana, Daryl Alvarez, those are not guys who are in, none of those guys were in our preseason top 100.
Right.
And, but several of those guys are very interesting. Gabriel Guerrero, you know, related to Vladimir Guerrero, is a very interesting.
Oh, I loved him at the Carolina Cal League All-Star game to jump our gun a little bit. I mean, first of all, if you look at him in the face, you realize he's related to Vladimir Guerrero.
He looks like Vladimir Guerrero.
It's kind of creepy. He looks more like him than Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which is kind of interesting. But he has just unreal power. And right now, obviously, the plate discipline isn't there. But that's something you can learn.
I was going to say, but not only that, but his you know, but Vladimir says, and if you're special, you don't even need it, because Vladimir Guerrero never had plate discipline.
He almost hit a ball out of Wilmington, which is like almost hitting the ball out of the Omaha Park.
Right. I mean, that is. It's like, hey, he hit it to the warning track. That's awesome.
Which kind of makes what Kyle Waltrip did there a little more special. He hit it out to center, which is something.
That's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Except for the for non-Joey Gallo category.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is impossible for Joey Gallo when it comes to home runs. But no, I think Dalton Pompey is interesting from the standpoint of a top-of-the-order guy. First base situation here, a lot of years when we're picking the... I should preface, MLB picks the futures game for rosters with consultation of MLB.com's guys, you know, Callis and Mayo, the MLB Scouting Bureau, and they're nice enough, you know, we've been involved in it since the start. We're happy to say here at Baseball America. But there have been many of those years picking the Futures Game World roster where you're looking for world first baseman and you go, okay, can we find a guy? That's not a position that's usually very stacked. Mikel Franco's a third baseman who also plays first, but he does play first.
Mm-hmm.
Not having a great year, but a legitimate prospect. And Kenneth Vargas is... not a stud prospect, but a very interesting one.
And he's having a great year. Switch hitter with big power from both sides who gets on base. I mean, I'll take that.
Those are two guys who are very, you know, like, they're not afterthought guys who are just on here because we have to put a world first baseman. I was excited to see that because it hadn't always been the case in the past years. Catcher also. Catcher has been one that world catchers in the past, there's been some years where it's been a little thin. To see Alfaro and Bethancourt, that's not thin at all. Those are both, you know, very legit guys. Let's go to the U.S. position players, then we'll go back to the pitchers. Catchers are Pilecki and Justin O'Connor, DJ Peterson, Peter O'Brien at first, Mookie Betts, Micah Johnson at second, J.P. Crawford, Corey Seager at short. Stop for a second. Third base, Joey Gallo, Chris Bryant. Okay, well, actually, I'm digressing here. We're going to spend a little bit of time just on the third baseman because, let's be honest, if you had Joey Gallo, Chris Bryant in this game in BP, and you just filled the rest with random GCL and AZL players.
Random people from off the street.
It'd be still fun to watch.
Yeah.
Those are the guys who, I hope they're in the same BP group. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to see it be, because if you've never been to the Futures game, the batting practice before the game in many ways is as entertaining as the game, because it's an all-star game. This isn't something where, you know, you necessarily are going to do your two bunts and then hit to the opposite field. Some guys will still do a professional BP work on things. Some guys, and in this situation, I appreciate them for it, are going to say, I'm in a big league ballpark, all these people here, I'm going to put on a show. If Chris Bryant, Joey Gallo, ideally I want DJ Peterson and Peter O'Brien all in that same group too. I want those guys to put on a show.
Excuse me. DJ Peterson's fine, but I would like Corey Seager in that group.
Corey Seager in that group, too. Let's just have fun, and let's just see how many balls disappear. And that, again, Gallo last year, that's what Gallo did every BP. This year, Gallo takes a very professional BP in a slightly disappointing way if you're just there watching. But he doesn't hit nearly as many home runs normally. For one day, I think I said this on Twitter, I hope we get Monster Gallo for that day where he just says in BP, guys, watch. I mean, again, to sum up Joey Gallo, we wrote this in the capsule for the Futures game, I think, or maybe. He hit the 10th longest home run at Petco with a wood bat the summer before his senior year in high school.
He can hit. He can hit for power.
So Bryant and Gallo, excited?
Yeah, but I mean, as I did on Twitter, I was more excited about the guys that I haven't gotten to see yet. I mean, I've seen a ton of these guys. We're uploading video right now. I think this year alone we've seen 27 of the 50. And once YouTube plays nice, you'll have them all up there. Michael Taylor is a guy who's had a really great year. He plays really good defense in center, steals bases efficiently, like I said, just with Peraza, and has hit for power this year. He did it in Puerto Rico in Winter Ball 2. He tore up Puerto Rico, but as I wrote, Puerto Rico is not the biggest test in the world, but it was kind of
It ended up being a precursor showing what he's doing this year.
Right. Who else have I not seen that? I haven't seen Henry Owens in a long... I'm jumping the gun again. Pitchers.
Position players.
I haven't seen Plawecki in a long time, and I want to see this insert firearm here that Justin O'Connor has behind the plate. You don't run on Justin O'Connor. He picks guys off. He steals. It's an eight arm.
Yeah, and he's still a little rough though back there as far as some of the other things receiving. He's a converted guy who converted a catcher, but it's a pretty special package.
And I say this, I wish they would have these things at All-Star games and Futures games and whatever. We have it at the BP. We have the Home Run Derby. I want to see some sort of competition where you can show off your catching arm, show off all that Francisco Lindor
can do. We don't get that, but we do get infield.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to infield, too.
Right. So what Francisco Lindor can do, Jose Peraza can do, all those guys can do, instead of just having to watch the game and wait.
It is funny. This roster's so loaded that we went by the name that Mookie Betts is here, and we're just like, oh, Mookie Betts is here. And I know you've gotten to see Mookie Betts.
I've gotten to see Mookie Betts. I mean, it's not ad nauseum, but I've seen what Mookie can do. I know the Mookie show.
But I'm very excited that Mookie Betts will be in this game because, well, for one, this is probably the last opportunity for Mookie Betts' Futures Gamer.
If you're really going to be optimistic, maybe he doesn't get there.
I want him there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is the outfield, Michael Taylor, Jesse Winker, James Ramsey, Hunter Renfro, Josh Bell. Josh Bell, I saw Josh Bell in spring training, but I'm excited to see him get very, very good year this year. He's having the year where you go, oh, he got $5 million, which unfortunately for Josh Bell last year was like, he got $5
million? He got $5
million. Much better year.
He's in Florida State League again, and he's still there after the All-Star break, which isn't totally a surprise, given that they have Willie Garcia up at Altoona, and he's a guy that they like, too, and other scouts like.
Well, and with Bell had this is the first healthy year Bell's had, the first fully healthy year. He had the knee injury last year with some nagging stuff. I could see with him more than some the reason to say, no, we're just going to let him build on success more than a guy, you know. But, yeah, we have reached the point in the year where most of the guys who've torn up leagues, this is the official, get promoted to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a lot of those guys get promoted.
And some of those guys went to the major leagues. Marco Gonzalez, hello.
Yeah, Marco Gonzalez, you know, we Marco Gonzalez hopes he's not in the Futures game now. You know, he doesn't want to be back. You know, he's happy to be, you know, in the big leagues instead.
I wonder if, we can look at it later, if the Cardinals schedule brings him to Minnesota before the Futures game.
That's interesting. I don't think so. I would guess not, but he could, you know. Okay, but also, shortstop. Corey Seager, I don't think either of us think of the shortstop long, long term. But J.P. Crawford, Corey Seager, that's...
J.P. Crawford's a shortstop long, long term. Like, when I'm 29 now, when I'm 40,
when you're my age.
I expect him to be a shortstop in the big leagues.
Right, and then, so that will be, again, the shortstops in this game are always good, but let's not deal with Carlos Correa's injury right now. Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor, Javier Baez, J.P. Crawford, Corey Seager. Those are five potentially top 25 prospects. And that leaves out, I mean, there's some guys who didn't make it.
Right. Addison Russell obviously had no time to make it. He's going to be a top, really good. Top 25 prospect.
Raul Mondesi, you know, hey, it's not like Raul Mondesi won't have another chance to make this. You know, we'll give him another, you know, he's 18. You know, but I do think that's really stacked. You said, I agree with you. I'm kind of excited to see Kevin Plawecki because he's very interesting. And I want to see, any question I've ever heard with Kevin Plawecki is always revolved around defense more than offense.
I had a scout tell me the other day that he's the Mets catcher of the future. It's not Travis d'Arnaud. Travis d'Arnaud is yesterday's news.
Right now he's today's news. He just got called back up.
Good for you.
but Plecky. And the funny thing is, again, you know, Blake Swihart, we both. Yeah. That's the guy who we'd love to see here. Again, probably get a chance again next year because he's in Double A now. They got Christian Vasquez ahead of him who is really good too.
Yeah, he can defend.
He can catch a little bit. He's not Swihart, but he can hit.
No.
But it's a loaded roster. Now the rosters always will take a little hit from now because we're still 3 weeks roughly away from the game, 2.5 weeks, and by the time we get around to the game, a couple of these guys will probably be called up or be hurt or things like that. But man, rosters are very solid. Let's go to the pitchers, rural pitchers: Francelis Montas, Julio Urias, Jose or J.O. Barrios, take your pick, how you want to call it. Luis Severino, Domingo Herman, Jorge Lopez, Eni Romero, Alfonso Alcantara, Edwin Escobar, and Teron Guerrero. You've seen Montas. I've seen Montas. We liked Montas.
I like Montas a lot.
He'll be great in a one-inning stint.
Yeah, he brings it up to the upper 90s in whatever
start.
And whatever inning stint a start is for that day. And he's been up to 100 before. He's a big, big boy. Think Bartolo Colon, big boy.
No, just the hips or what?
Not quite as fat.
But if someone gets in their mind, you say Bartolo Colon.
Not as.
They're thinking like slow pitch softball beer league body, and that's not what Montas is. Montas is big, but Bartolo Colon is like, can he run around the bases? Big. He's frighteningly obese.
Montas has to watch himself.
He has to watch himself. Cologne doesn't have to watch himself. He watches that. Oh, it left a long time ago. You know, I mean, no, I'm just saying he's not in the same body there. Urias, my stat with
on the other side.
Julio Urias is that when Julio Urias was born, Derek Jeter had already played over 100 games in the big leagues.
He's young.
He's very young. That's kind of frightening to think, but I do wonder. I have not looked this up, but he may be the youngest. I would guess. I have not looked at every roster. I would guess he's the youngest player we've ever seen in the Futures game.
I mean, yeah, probably.
He's not just 17. He's playing the whole year at 17.
He's a baby. He can't do much of anything at night.
It's true. Hey, where are we going? No, I can't. Is it 18 to get in? Can't get in. He'll be obviously fascinating to watch. And we're very interested to see him in a short stint. Berrios is, every scout we talked to has seen Berrios, loves him some Jose Berrios.
And what's not to love? I mean, the numbers are insane lately.
And the stuff's good, really good too.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I'm confusing him and somebody else, but I think over his last four, it's 46 strikeouts and 4 walks.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Luis Severino.
I love me some Severino. Unfortunately, when I got to watch him this year for the first time since last spring training, I got the worst start of his career. But he was up to 98 for me. Really good changeup that he was doubling, tripling, and quadrupling up on. And a slider that needs a little work. But he's 6 foot, 195, and the questions are always going to be about his size. But there are guys out there who buck that trend. Johnny Cueto being one. Yordano Ventura being another. And hey, J.O. Barrios being another. He's 6'187".
Tim Hudson,
yep.
Tim Lincecum.
Yeah, well, Lincecum's a little different breed of cat, but right, yeah.
But still, I mean, Lincecum's knock was, when he was coming out in the draft, was he's short. Well, he's got a couple Cy Young awards on his, you know, mantle that say, hey, you know.
Maybe they blow out a little quicker, or they burn out a little quicker. But, not blow out, it's a different thing, but.
The bigger ones seem to blow out quicker, but. Yeah. I'll take, the guy I'm interested to see is Teron Guerrero. Saw him in spring training a year and a half ago, and really didn't even see him pitch. Just saw him walking, saw him do PFP, and was like, who is that? Monster's not the right word, because he's like 19, you know, he's kind of really skinny. But like, who's that guy who's towering over everyone, seems reasonably coordinated for that, and looks like, give him 5 years and he's really going to grow into something. That was Teron Guerrero. This year, he kind of grew into something. Last year, he was awful in the Midwest League. This year, he earned his way out of there with, you know, a pretty insane strikeout-to-walk ratio. He's got a fastball that 97, 98, you know, to go with the slider. He's interesting to watch. It's a very solid world roster overall. I'm always excited to see that because that's the tougher one. We now will see the U.S. roster. You're going to have guys. The world roster, I love when it's a really good roster. It's a really good roster. A lot of Puerto Rican players in this roster. It's again, credit John Paul Morosi just tweeted it out. You are seeing again another sign of that. Baseball in Puerto Rico is 10 years ago. We were hearing about baseball in Puerto Rico being dead.
I wonder how much of that is due to the Carlos Beltran Academy.
That and the Puerto Rican Baseball Academy, there's a lot.
I seem to hear Carlos Beltran Baseball Academy called a lot during that draft conference.
Puerto Rico Baseball Academy also. You know, you got Correa, you got Baez, you got... It's baseball in Puerto Rico. Thumbs up. So we go to U.S. pitchers. Henry Owens, Noah Thor Syndergaard, Jake Thompson, Daniel Norris, Hunter Harvey, Robert Stevenson, Christian Benford, Marco Gonzalez, Lucas Giolito, Braden Shipley. That'll do.
That'll do just fine.
Okay, one guy. Who are you most excited? I will say, who's the guy that you think is going to be, who's going to wow the most in one inning of work there? I have an answer.
I think it's going to be Giolito.
I agree.
I mean, I saw him two days ago, and I was wowed for two innings and mad for the rest of the time because he lost command and then Greensboro had a field day on him. But for those two innings, it was really, really good. I mean, the fastball was 93-96 with good movement. The curveball, it almost seemed like there were two different ways. I don't know if this was just a factor of the mechanics not being on that day, but there was a big power, almost 12-6 more, 11:30 to 5:31. And then there was one that kind of cut and had dual plane break that you can see the video I posted the other day that wiped out whatever hitter was at the plate. And the changeup was really, really good for me.
Which is impressive because that's normally his third pitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people's first pitch, I thought.
Yeah, watching him in one inning when he can air out is going to be fun. I'm not saying he's going to have the best outing, but I'm very interested to see Daniel Norris because Daniel Norris, I give him massive loads of credit. There are not many guys who've pulled off what he did. Daniel Norris, for the first, I don't know, 7 pro months of his career, was terrible. I don't mean bad. I mean getting his brains beat in pretty much every time out. What's wrong with him? For a guy who got a whole lot of money, how is he as bad as this? What's the problem? And he didn't go into a funk. He worked with his coaches. He got better. And then it was like the light switch turned on. And the funny thing is he always had stuff, even when he was giving up 2 hits an inning. Even though he was walking a lot of guys. The light switch got on. He's gotten better and better and better. And now he's very much the Daniel Norris that everyone thought he was going to be coming out of the draft. And I give him a lot of credit because there's not a lot of guys who... A lot of guys, when it goes bad like that, it's really hard to pull out of it. Daniel Norris pulled out of it. Henry Owens. One inning of Henry Owens is going to be...
That could either be really fun or not so fun.
But lately, it's been all fun. So yeah. I'm thinking it'll be fun because lately, he has been insanely good. Right now, if it goes as it is right now, and partly because Tyler Glasnow, again, does not have enough innings to qualify, Henry Owens led the minors in batting average against last year. Henry Owens is leading the minors. Well, I shouldn't say. He's right now not leading the minors. Daniel Winkler is. Daniel Winkler is not going to lead the minors in batting average against because Daniel Winkler is not throwing another pitch this year, and he will not qualify, unfortunately, because he's hurt. Henry Owens is second right now, so Henry Owens would again lead the minors in batting average against. And he's doing that at the upper levels. This isn't a guy in A-ball.
Right. I'm interested in, we'll go back to the world team here for a second, but Domingo Germán. Mm-hmm. There's a guy who was not in our top 30 for the Marlins, who obviously wasn't in our top 100. I had to look just now to see if he's on the depth chart. And he's made himself he's had a great year so far in the South Atlantic League. He's a little older. But it's fastball.
They don't check your ID in the mound. Pitchers can be a little older than hitters. I generally believe.
It's fastball. It's changeup, and it's, I guess he calls it a curveball.
Slurve.
It's a slurvy, sweepy thing. But it works. He gets hitters out. He throws strikes, and he was up to 94 for me. So it's an intriguing arm. And they've got two or they had three intriguing arms at Greensboro with Matt Milroy now gone. But they've also got Harleen Garcia down there, who's kind of the same idea, but from the left side. He doesn't walk anybody either.
He'll be interesting. I got to see Hunter Harvey start the All-Star, Sal League All-Star game a week ago, I guess today. And it was his best outing. It wasn't a great outing, but it was his best outing in the last three, because two before that were the two worst outings he's had this year by far. And Hunter Harvey...
He was good last night, too.
And Hunter Harvey, in a one-inning stint, can be really, really good, too.
Yeah, I got to see him in Delmarva... Not in Delmarva, in Lakewood, against Lakewood. And he was very good. He wasn't great. He was very good.
But you're a curse on pitchers. No,
I know, I know.
Who's been as good as they could be for you this year?
Who?
Matt Milroy?
Chris Sale.
Chris, well, that... Okay. Non-big league Cy Young candidate.
Oh, what are you talking about? Jeremy Hellickson got his brain beat in last time I watched him.
I understand, but non-Cy Young category.
Who have I seen that's been tremendous this year? I don't think I've seen anybody who's been really
good. I got you one, because you were there on the same night. It was Leclerc.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't thinking relievers. Jose Leclerc was very, very...
Jose Leclerc was every bit as good as Jose Leclerc can be for us. I would say Montas was pretty...
Oh, yes, Montas was very good, too.
But... Miguel Almonte, I think you've seen, and he hasn't
in
been
in spring, but yeah,
he hasn't been as good as he could be. Like, still, I'm still waiting. The best outing I've seen this year is still Alex Reyes in spring training,
and he might be the best outing I've seen at BA. I saw him. That might have been the first or second game I went to as a member of the staff, and I didn't even know who he was. I just saw that he got $500,000. All right, I'm gonna go drive to Burlington. And for the first inning, he couldn't hit me in the stands. He couldn't hit the stands, period. And then he had like 8 strikeouts that night, and I think 7 of 8 of them were on 3 pitches.
The thing I saw was as he was facing the Marlins in a spring training game, and against one batter, the batter bailed on back-to-back breaking balls that were strikes. I mean, do it once is one thing. He did it once, which I don't blame Reyes. Like, if you go do that, I'll do it again. He broke off another one. And the hitter, who just saw, wow, he made me look really bad on that, did it again. You know, now Reyes is a guy who...
His ball breaks so hard. You've heard of Frisbee sliders. This is a boomerang curveball where if the catcher doesn't catch it, it's coming back to the mound.
That'd be pretty good. So, again, that's the Futures Games rosters as we, you know, are sitting here getting ready for the game on July 13th, Target Field in Minneapolis. Again, the rosters will probably change a little bit because, as we've seen, Marco Gonzalez is up. Carlos Correa, well, let's talk about that for a second. Carlos Correa slides into third, hurts his ankle on, I think, Saturday night.
Yeah.
And he's going to miss time. We don't know yet how much.
If he's there, I mean.
Probably not going to be the Futures game. Just looking at it from a prospect standpoint, there's one thing that that is interesting about this. I'm not concerned about his development long term because of this, because he loses time. He's way ahead of everyone on that. He's one of the younger guys in his league. You know, the thing this cost him is I would have been shocked if he had not been promoted to Double A
soon.
And by this means he's not going to be promoted to Double A soon. But I don't know if that slows him down much, because assuming a full recovery, he'll go to the AFL now, which maybe he wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, I think Jeff Luhnow said on...
Jeff Luhnow's already said he's probably going to go to the AFL. If he goes to the AFL, he's still on the same pace. I will put this prediction right now. If it's not for service time reasons, and there may be for service time reasons that change this, but I think he goes to spring training next year, and there's a pretty decent shot that they're going to look around and go, he's the best guy in our team. How do we not bring him north? Well, not north. How do we not bring him west? Because really, from Florida, from Kissimmee to Houston, it's not really north. It's just west.
Well, thank you. We just lost Jonathan VR, podcast listener.
Sorry, Jonathan. But you know, nothing is, you know, but there were guys who saw spring training for the Astros last year. I talked to a scout who's like, I can't tell you that Correa is not the best player on this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's very good. I'm always a little more skeptical of guys until they get to Double A, because Double A pitchers have a way of...
That's true. Okay. I'm sold. But the other part of it, though, is that I am concerned with this, is that you hear more and more scouts who are convinced that Correa could play shortstop. But Correa, the knock is he's not a great runner. He's going to slow down further. The concern you have to have with this is you hope this ankle does not slow him further, because he doesn't have He's got great anticipation. He's got a great arm. He makes all the plays. He's got enough range. If this cuts into his range and his mobility long term, that's a concern. Because not in that he's not going to still be great. It would just mean Carlos Correa, great third baseman, not Carlos Correa, shortstop. That's the concern.
Yeah, and it's a setback right now, and we'll see. But he's young, and I'm sure he'll have plenty of time to recover and regain that range. And he was in fine health before that, so there's no reason to think that it's certain he's at third base.
And by the way, one last thing on the Futures game before we go to the All-Star games. It would be great to see Sano at this thing. How much of a bummer is it that the game's going to be in Minneapolis, it's going to be in Minnesota, for Twins fans, and Byron Buxton won't be able to be there?
Oh, no, I agree. It was... I've been thinking about this for months. Once Buxton went down, it was okay. Once Sano went down, it was okay. You're not gonna be able to see Sano at Target Field on July 17th. That stinks. Oh, and Buxton's down too. That really stinks. This was supposed to be a showcase for those two guys and the youth movement that they have coming. And you're gonna get Kenneth Vargas and you're gonna get Jo Barrios, and those are nice, but they're not Miguel Sano and Byron Buxton, and that's really a shame for the fans are going to come to this ballpark, this beautiful newish ballpark, and hopefully should have gotten to see two of the top five prospects in the game.
Yeah, it's a bummer. You went to the Carolina Cal League All-Star game. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I was jealous because that is my, of the minor league All-Star games, that's my favorite.
It was pretty good. You had the hitting challenge the day before. That was kind of interesting. The backward home run derby.
So how did the fans not get pelted with?
Well, first of all, not many people hit them in there. Okay. And it's just the same way regular home runs are hit in the major leagues. They're coming at players in the bleachers. They're coming at people in the bleachers. Nice. You bring a glove and you try to catch it.
Yeah, I guess it's far away. It's not like taking a screaming line drive.
Right, and they were about 15, 20 feet in from dead center just because you don't want them next to the wall.
Yes. Ow, I hit the wall.
That, and you have balls just coming back to the pitcher. But still, not many were hit. I think
those Wilmington's an impossible place to hit a home run.
You give them 20 more feet. the wink.
No, you don't, because you got some field. You got some behind the home plate.
That's
too.
True. That's true. Winker was the winner with 5, and he, aside from hitting 5 home runs, looked really good. The swing to me was really, really
that's
nice.
That's Jesse Winker's second home run derby win in 2 years, by the way. Midwest League home run derby champ last year too.
It was a really smooth, good looking swing for me, and the ball came off his bat with plenty of authority. He didn't look like he really had to try to muscle up to hit a lot of balls out. Johnny Damon embarrassed himself a little bit at the home run derby. He was on hand for his number to be retired, and I think he was hitting with a broken bat. But as I wrote in my notebook piece, before he came to bat, he took Jesse Winker's shoes and hit in Jesse Winker's shoes. So literally, Jesse Winker can say he's walked in Johnny Damon's shoes, or vice versa. I think that was kind of a pretty cool moment there. Not really any other guys stood out at the home run derby part. The next day, I liked Enrique Burgos, the pitcher for, I think he's an Arizona farmhand, if I'm remembering correctly. Big boy. 98-mile-an-hour fastball, 90-mile-an-hour slider. He's got a bunch of saves in the Cal League. Stephen O'Kurt was very good. He saved us from extra innings by striking out Sean Pleffner.
I got extra innings. I got a tie.
Well, if they'd gone 10 innings and been tied, it would have been a tie. And, you know, George Brett was on hand, and he knows what a tie means. So those two guys stuck out pretty well. As I mentioned, Gabriel Guerrero was really nice. Hunter Renfro showed some pretty good power. Jorge Alfaro, I've seen a million times, and he was still athletic as ever. He had a triple.
Hunter Renfro helped.
Air quote triple. That he got around the bases in pretty good time on. And like I said, Kyle Waldrop hit a ball out in Wilmington to center, which I've never seen. I've seen plenty of games at Wilmington.
Saturday League All-Star game was also pretty fun. Aaron Judge put on a very nice show in BP. He's a massive, massive man.
He's a human. He's like Stonehenge big.
Photo of me and him, me talking to him, and I look like I'm 5'1", 5'2".
Not tall, you really?
Close to 6. I'm about 5'11 now. I've shrunk. I used to be 6 foot. I'm old. In game, you know, Hunter Harvey was good. Not great, but good. David Dahl had a nice double off of him to start the game. Pretty good lineup for the, I guess it would have been the, I think it's the Western contingent, even though it has Asheville in it. But
think they're north and south.
Yeah, north south. I think it's the northern contingent. Whichever one.
Whichever team Dahl was on.
I mean, to be honest, no one really goes, oh, I'm playing for the pride of the Sally League North or, you know.
South.
But whoever it was, they had Dahl, Ryan McMahon, Aaron Judge. It was a pretty good top of the lineup. But Akil Morris, in his 0.28 ERA, actually gave up a couple of runs. So not Akil Morris. I mean, I think if that accounted, I think it would have doubled his ERA for the year or more. But to be honest, it was not as stacked as your, you know, it's just not.
Well, I got two leagues.
You got two leagues. I got a very big league to see. But it was a very fun time. I love the All-Star games. The players, I mean, they'd love to have 3 days off in some ways because it's a long season. But at the same time, they also love that it's a very low-key. These aren't counting your stats. It's a reward. BP is a fun thing. They get to hang out with guys who they don't get to see normally. You know, there are a lot of times, you know, the parents are there.
Right.
It was just fun to, you know, it's definitely a fun event. And
Texas League All-Star Game is today.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Joey Gallo is not in it. He's sitting for 3 days while Chris Bryant has tied him for the professional baseball home run lead.
I was going to say, Gallo doesn't like giving up the home run lead, I don't think. So
he's going to come back and hit four.
Yeah, I think this is just giving him a chance to, repower up the power-ups.
As at Tepid Participation said on Twitter, he's just going to spend these 3 days dragging railroad ties up a hill.
But, yeah, Gallo and then Peter O'Brien not far behind.
Yeah, he had two more yesterday.
It's a great home run race.
This is McGuire and Sosa and Bonds and Griffey all in one. I think it was on the O.J. Simpson documentary the other day saying that Ken Griffey Jr. had 30 by the end of June when he was chasing, 94 when they were chasing.
By the end of June, it was like June 18th.
Yeah.
I was at Tiger Stadium that day. I was stuck in a Tiger Stadium parking lot. I think it was a Tigers A's game, if I remember right. Stuck in a parking lot where they parked every car. You had to wait till every single car in front of you got out to get out. So we were in that parking lot for like an hour and a half, and we were listening to the O.J. chase.
But there,
you were like five.
94. I was 9.
So you were probably not listening and watching the.
No, I as a matter of fact, and this is kind of blasphemy. I didn't care about baseball at that time. I didn't know baseball at that time. I was
on a postgraduate trip I went to a ball game at a Brewers game, a Tigers game, an Indians game, and a White Sox game. The Cubs were out of town, so I just got to see four ballparks I hadn't seen in 6 days.
I was a year away from acknowledging baseball as a thing that existed. So that's kind of interesting there. But point being that he's right there on close to that pace, and he's ahead of the pace. Chris Davis, Gallo this is, and Bryant too. Ahead of the pace that Chris Davis had last year when he hit 53. So, I don't know if they're going to hit that many because they don't have the extra month.
But I was going to say, it's not really an accurate, you know, because it's like, and then they're done. And by the way, Chris Davis still had another month to hit those home runs. But both of them are on pace. I mean, 40 is insane in the minor leagues. I'll be very disappointed we don't have someone significantly more than 40 this year.
The only thing that's going to stop him is a call-up.
Yeah.
Or an injury, but a call-up.
And either of them would gladly trade 45 minor league home runs for a call-up.
I don't know if we've discussed this on the podcast before, but which guy is most likely to be called up of those two?
I think Bryant.
I think Gallo.
I know that there's more of a need there because, I mean, although it's a need at a position that he hasn't played, I mean, they don't have a first baseman right now. But two things. One, I think the Rangers are out of it.
Right.
If the Rangers are out of it, there's no reason to call him up early. You know, you're planning for next year. This is not a rebuilding team who needs a guy just to give a spark. Hey, you know, if he's ready next year, he's ready. Bryant, I mean, obviously the Cubs are out of it too, but Bryant's already in AAA.
But in AAA, it's very small, but in AAA he's doing one thing. He's homers. He has 5 hits in AAA. They are all homers.
Right.
So.
Yes, he has to improve on that before he's ready for the call-up. But I do think... I think that in Texas, you don't have to sell fans on, hey, we're a good team. Rangers fans aren't dumb enough to say, I mean, they're smart enough to know we've been a multiple-time World Series team recently. We had a whole lot of injuries this year. That's them. In Chicago, it's a youth movement. I could see him not coming up because you're holding off arbitration eligibility and all that. But there also is kind of the need for, at some point, let's show off some of the shiny toys to show you what's coming. It looked like it was going to be Javier Baez as that first guy of that. Chris Bryant's ahead of Javier Baez right now on getting up there. Because, for one, Javier Baez has had enough offensive troubles that you can't move him off a shortstop to still let him work on other positions. I think there's a somewhat intentional on that, in that he doesn't need to have other things to worry about. He just needs to worry right now about not striking out two times every game.
Yep, and again, he's 21 in AAA, so...
he's got time.
Plenty of patience there.
And Starlin Castro is having a great year again, so it's not something where...
So you're not going to move him to third, though?
No.
Well, or you're going to have to move Chris Bryant. That's going to be a weird switcheroo.
No, and by the way, I love Arizmendi Alcantara.
Yeah.
Second base.
Bad problem, or good problem to have.
Yes, a very good problem. If you're a Cubs fan, I would not be worried long-term nearly. I know it's frustrating to be going through this,
and
but...
I know we probably said this 1,000 times. I wouldn't be worried long-term, but this time it's for real.
No, I mean, Cubs have, you know... Yeah.
Next year's been a lot. There's been a lot of next years.
Yeah, there have been. There have been. 100 plus, you know. But no, I do think that, you know, that this is, this is a very good core. Now, we still have questions about pitching staff. We'll see on that. But it's a very good offensive core.
So, let's what are you watching this week? I know what you're watching this week.
Well, we're going tomorrow, me and you. JJ and the Bear hitting the road to go to Burlington to watch the Burlington versus Elizabethton.
Which is going to be just stocked with the capital stock.
Martin Gasparini, Chase Vallow,
DJ Burt, Nick Gordon.
Michael Sederoth, potentially.
Sam Clay.
We don't know. I mean, that's always a...
They're on the roster.
We don't know if they'll pitch to, you know, tomorrow.
Jake Reed. Nick Birdie just signed. How fast can you get here?
That'd be awesome.
That would be really
probably
awesome.
Probably not by tomorrow, but we'll...
Planes are amazing things.
but that would be awesome.
And he's coming from Louisville, so...
And we don't even know that he's going to Elizabethton. Yeah. You know, that's
Well, it seems like that's where they're sending all of them.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
I guess...
He's either going there or he's going low A. I mean, that's the way to put
it. Yeah. I mean, they're... All of their picks that are signed from rounds 1 through 10 are in Elizabethton.
That'll be fun.
That's going to be a really good game tonight. I'm going to go see Nick Kingham at Durham.
Who's... You know what? He's like one of those nice... He's not even a sleeper prospect. I mean, it's funny, you know... I'm not mocking, but like you'll see on the web, like, you know, sleeper prospects, whatever. And you're just like, if a guy is a top 10, top 15 guy in an organization, that's not a sleeper guy, you know. But Nick Kingham is a good, he's not the top prospect in the Pirates organization, but
he'd be
pretty
a top
good.
Prospect in others.
Yeah, there's an organization. I do the Angels. Like Nick Kingham, if he's an Angels prospect, he'd be the number one prospect.
I do the Brewers. Well, for this update.
He would be the number two prospect. I'd take Jimmy Nelson over him.
We'll see you tonight. I guess I haven't seen Jimmy Nelson. And then, let's see, the rest of the week, I think I'm going to Greensboro for Lakewood and Greensboro to get my last fill of Lakewood, or the Pine Barrens, as they were for one day last week, before they go home. I get Andrew Knapp. And unfortunately, I've cursed shortstops, apparently, because Malquin Canelo, who replaced J.P. Crawford, is hurt now, so I won't get to see him. But Andrew Knapp is interesting. High round pick last year, who had Tommy John surgery as a position player. Like three of those now, with him, Mac Williamson, and Sano. And then maybe if I'm feeling real frisky, Kannapolis at the end of the week, because Charleston's in there.
Clay Luis.
Yes, Clay Luis again, but Clay Luis, and you can get Clay Luis versus Omar Luis.
Who are the Kannapolis versus?
Charleston.
Oh, that's...
Now, the way it's shaken up, they're playing a four-game set, and the one guy I'm not going to get to see is Clarkin, which...
You didn't get to see last time either.
No, it's kicking the teeth.
And Luis Severino's bummed about that because he knows that he'll suck because you're...
Well, Luis Severino's in high A.
Oh, yeah, he got to get promoted.
So I'm not going to deal with him. But Brady Lail is the guy on Friday, and he's a sleeper guy who could work... There's a sleeper.
I saw him.
Was he in the All-Star game?
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who could work his way into the top 30 for the Yankees. He's had a great year, a nice little sneaky low 90s fastball with a big old curveball, and there's a change in there too, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure.
I'll go find my notes for you.
But he's a guy who was on the borderline of the top 30 last year, and I liked him. He came in, when I saw Severino for the first time, he came in and relieved him, and I have a little bit of video of him, and he was intriguing. I think that's all I'm doing this week.
Yeah, he goes to a lot more games. I have kids. I don't go to as many games.
I don't have any kids. And I think I've been to like 75 games this year or something between spring training and wherever.
It's insane. It's awesome. But, well, that's another episode of JJ and the Bear.
Probably the longest one yet.
But I don't know if it'll be up on it with this, but hopefully we'll have the logo for this. If you've ever seen BJ and the Bear, you should enjoy. Thank you, Linwood Webb, our graphics artist extraordinaire, for working that up. For Bear, I'm JJ. Thanks again for the download. We'll be back again next week.